My name is Warren. Spicer is my last name, and I'm in the band Plants and Animals. It was high school with, me and the drummer, his name's Matthew Woodley. We call him Woody. We're from Nova Scotia, so the east coast of Canada by the ocean. There's some news right there. We met when we were like 10 years old, I think. So we were friends, and then, you know, you're young and you kind of play instruments or whatever. And then we ended up in some bands in high school, and then it kind of forced the other people. Everyone was talking about Montreal, like, you got to go, you got to check it out. It's crazy. It's amazing. So a few visits on like spring break trips. There was maybe a ski trip or something that got us there. My brother was already in Montreal at McGill University doing something. So I went up and hung out there. And then, yeah, we all just, me and Woody decided to go to apply to a university in Montreal. So we moved here and went to university there. And then I met Nick at that. Nick is the other guitar player, and he's from Montreal. He's a Francophone. So first language French, and we met in university and started working on, you know, like music. We were in music school at university level, so composition, really electroacoustic, very like conceptual kind of sound art stuff. So that's, the band came together in a like pretty non, I don't know how, we weren't trying to write pop songs or trying to like get on the radio or any of that. We were really like just in a very like educational phase of music and songwriting and music making. And that, I think that's something that's always, I don't know, we've always strived to like push that more, but at the, you know, but also try to like, it's been a, I feel like that line of where we came from, which was somewhere much more experimental than where we perhaps inevitably ended up, was something that has caused us like friction over the years. I wish we had built up a bit more like credibility for our weirder side, which we may not have like pushed forward enough. So I think all the good things that have happened to us, and some of them have been because we wrote, you know, kind of more accessible songs and people like them, and there's nothing wrong with that, and that's great. But in doing it, you kind of leave behind the ability to like to be recognized as a kind of a weirdo band or a band who's playing like strange music that requires that kind of like builds a different audience. Yeah, if you come out of the gates and you're doing very kind of like challenging music that gets some attention, then you kind of can run with it. But if you come out of the gates and you're doing, you know, I think our first record, Park Avenue, was one of the more like the one that really, it put us on the map, and people have been, I don't know, it feels like the one that connected with a lot of people. So it's hard to, yeah, it's hard to alter the course of what you've started, you know?
Well, you can, and a lot of bands do. But then the other question is, you know, and again, it's what's important to you? Is it the art? Is it paying the bills? Is it saying it's just art and I'm going to take another gig doing something completely different, you know, or is this my career? When you came to Montreal, I mean, what Montreal is known for is that you can live there a lot more cheaply than you can in Toronto or Vancouver. So at what point did you say, yeah, Montreal is going to be home, this is cool, and, you know, and I like it here, even though the weather is still freezing?
The draw really was, I mean, it was just, I was 17 when I moved here, and that was in 1996, and you could rent an apartment for, you know, nothing. I mean, it was post referendum. There was a referendum in 91 or 92. I don't remember, but anyways, the province tried to separate from the country, and they didn't, but it caused a kind of like there was a recession and people were pulling money out, and it was just cheap. I mean, now things are very different. Montreal is no different than Toronto, or in terms of like what the living costs have really caught up to the rest of Canada, and for that matter, the rest of North America. When you look, I mean, I don't know how much it costs to live in LA, but it's a lot, you know, like it's not, you can't work a couple of days at a restaurant and then just pay your rent, which is what you could do in Montreal in the olden days. It was that affordable. It was really it was so simple to, You just didn't have to work that much. So you could work on, if you were motivated, you could work on your own stuff. You could have project, and the rent was cheap. You could have a practice space. There was people around. You'd meet people. Everyone was working on music. And this is, you know, this is like the late 90s, early 2000s. And this is when, you know, like you mentioned, the Arcade Fire or other notable Montreal bands were all kind of doing this. We all had this thing that, you know, and it didn't feel unique at the time. It was just, if you were here and it's just, that's what it was. It was very, nobody really drew attention to it until later on and people started moving here for it. It was like, okay, if you're a band, you're going to move to Montreal, you're going to live this thing. And now it's come to the point where, I mean, I don't know. It's just economically, it's not the same. It's just, everything's much more expensive.
When was the record? I guess it's out October 23rd. When was it due to come out? Did it get pushed back?
Not a lot. No. I think it was late September, so I think it got pushed back to October. I don't remember. I don't think it was COVID related. I think we had it in the crosshairs for a while as a late kind of September thing, and then it turned to late October.
House on Fire was written 2 years ago. So that's a long gestation from then to now. So what's the gestation period for one of your records to get to that moment?
I mean, they're all a bit different. I mean, you know, you're making records, but you're also living life and, you know, making families and having kids. And, you know, we used to tour and make a record every 2 years and tour for half of, you know, more than half a year on each record, you know. So the past two records were post-family records, so you just can't behave like that anymore.
Yet fans and social media and all the responsibilities, there's suddenly this requirement of a band to be on 24/7, right?
Yeah, you're right. And I mean, you know, there's a lot of moving parts and working on the album. I guess we've tried to find a way to like to make it in, you know, work, to make it enjoyable, to stay together, you know? Like if you're pushing out two albums a year, like maybe you'll get a couple good songs here and there, but you might not give a shit about your records anymore cuz you're just...
So it's already been spoken of, the idea that you had a fear of a friend falling asleep with sleeping pills and, you know, with the stove on. And I hate to say it, but I didn't know that story when I hear the music, you know, or when I heard Sacrifice. I didn't know the, you know, the stories behind that. But what appealed to me about it is that you do know the secret. You do know the secret of Hooked.
I mean, I think always with the press release and the interviews and the blurbs you got to write about the songs that you put out, you know, you're like, you're put in a place where everybody wants you to give away things that you don't really want to give away. So with House on Fire, like, I mean, obviously, topically, it's a song about, you know, climate change. It's about the world burning. It's about the fact that we're asleep at the wheel, kind of thing. You know, that's the obvious analysis of it. So when we put the but the truth of where it came from was really that, you know, it was just like an offhand thing where it was just my neighbor who's a friend of mine and whatever. He was just like, it wasn't like he was wrecked on sleeping pills. He just like, it was a tiny thing. It was just this small little thing that I kind of pocketed away. It was a small concern that I had, and then it ended up in this song, and the song sounded big, and then the context of what's going on, you know, in the world, it just, everything got bigger and bigger. So I think to include some of the front story was to perhaps try to like make the song small again, because it started as a small song, but it has a very big feeling. So it was an attempt to balance out, you know, like we as a band, like, want to come out and, like, I don't know, try to say how things are. That's not the point. You know, what the point is to create a narrative and a place musically that people can, like, can get into and kind of come to their own terms with and find a place for themselves. And I think that song was a bit, of a challenge for us, because it felt like we may be trying to like push something too hard, you know, like push an image and an idea, really, because it's quite clear what we're saying is clear. But at the same time, you know, we had lots of talks about it, about what do we do about it, do we care? And to me, at the end of it all, if I just turned that song up and listened to it really loud, it just felt good, and I just accepted that there would be conversations to be had about what it means. And I don't think there's anything wrong with writing a song about bringing attention to, you know, the temperatures right now and like what's happening. So ultimately, the reason for it really just came down to that if I erased all meaning and all sense, you know, all kind of subtext and all of that, if I just turned it up loud enough and I just danced, then I felt great, and I accepted it as like there was something in it that just worked for me that didn't need to be analyzed.
What is the filter for a Plants and Animals record? How do you know when you write a song? How do you know that that is a song for this band?
Well, we're three. We split it all. We're completely equal, everything across the board. So there's no leader, and everybody takes care of different things at different times of a record cycles, you know. So if you write a song for this band and you're in the band, it doesn't mean that you get to tell people how to play the song. So it's really, you bring it in and everybody reacts to it and you work on it. I mean, sometimes you bring things in and people don't like it, and then you just put it in on the other, you know, you just put it away. So, you know, if you write something on your own and bring it to a band and the band doesn't love it, then you put it in your, you're like, well, I still like it, you know, like I can still do something with this maybe later with something else. So, but the stuff that people do like and everybody gets excited about, then you just, you know, you just offer it up. It's just like, that's the starting point, and everybody goes. And we're pretty, you know, we're not very like perfectionist or detail oriented or like process. We're really like, we just like to play, record everything, and then just kind of pick the takes that feel, you know, really like alive or like something actually happened when you recorded, you know. It's not like a building block process of, you know, record this, do that, put this in, track this, do this, you know, like a puzzle piece, which other records get made like that. You know, I make records like that with other people, but with the band, it's more, there's still something a little bit sacred about just like, we don't talk about a lot about the songs. We just kind of, you know, like work on it a little bit, and then you got to just record it quickly and not work on it too much.
I think this is a record for the times to a certain extent, even though you didn't make it to be for the times. I suspect it is. Is that truly the case?
I mean, the times came upon us when the record was done, you know, but the times were boiling.
Right.
Know? Even without identifying what it is, there's just the general sense of like things are going to get crazy and are getting crazier all the time in terms of like, and I mean, you know, you could put on many different lenses, but just from like a very like just a vibration level of day-to-day life, it's just you feel there's been an uneasiness for a long time, I feel like. And I don't think the pandemic, it's not like, oh, now it makes sense because we're all going to get sick, but it's more like, no, there's a lot of things that are out of balance, and not, there's a lot of people not communicating properly, there's a lot of missed things going on all over the place. And it's just the album, again, it was like reactionary, I suppose, to some of those vibrations. But times I'm not sure. I don't know, you know, you got, you know, Bob Dylan, you know, Hard Rain's Gonna Fall. I mean, he always said it wasn't a protest song. He just wrote it because he felt it, you know, and then everybody poured it on him. So I think sometimes you just write something because you feel it, and then it seems to click with something that's going on, and then you know, people say, well, you must have done that for that reason. And you say, well, I'm not sure I did. And if you're not sure, then maybe you didn't, you know, and that's okay. Because a lot of people write songs for very specific reasons. And they can say, yes, I wrote this song at this very moment because I felt this and so on and so forth. So, but that's not always the way it works. Sometimes you write things in a more kind of like unaware state of, you're just kind of filtering. You use the music to like, to process things, but not to make sense of it. It's not like you get to the end of writing the song and you understand what's going on. You just, it's a way to like calm your mind and your body to make this thing. And it's like, it's in the making of it that you gain a sense of peace and understanding and control, but it's not the point of the song necessarily.
I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich. And what that is two of your songs on the outside and then songs by others in between. There've been over 1,000 of these because there's been a lot of people on this show that have built these.